This show is part of the RetroZap.com podcast network.
Hey, yeah, you. Did you know that Arcast is on Patreon? Go check out patreon.com/arcast for ways to help out the show and get some sweet perks in return. It could be something small, such as our $1 tier to show your support, or join one of our higher tiers to get a shout out, pick an episode topic, or even be a part of the show as a special guest. Even just sharing our show to your friends goes a long way. Once again, that's patreon.com/arcast. Thanks for helping us, and keep it retro. What's up, Argonauts, and welcome to another Retro Gaming Podcast. This is episode 175 of the Arcast. I am your host, David Gilton, and with me is a man who has not stopped thinking for 20 years, Robert Workman.
Well, you know, I figure I have a brain, I might as well use it, right? I mean, that's how it's supposed to work. But, David, you know, we've reached episode 175 here. You and me have recorded shows, almost 200 shows now together. But I can't help but think, you know, it never hurts to try something different, try something new here.
And over shake things up, if you will.
Exactly, shake things up. And over the past few episodes, some of you guys may have heard Candace Shane join us for a couple episodes. We had her on for the FMV episode. Then we had her back to talk with Tommy Tallarico about the Amico. So we have decided to add her as a permanent co-host. She's doing a podcast with me again for the first time in ages, I guess. So welcome, Candace. Welcome back.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm here. I did it.
You did the thing.
Yeah. It's been almost 10 years since we did a podcast together.
I know. And we had I remember what it was. It was like an older show. We had like Anamanaguchi's opening music. We talked about geeky stuff all the time. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
And then before that, obviously, Gamer's Garage, but we won't get into that. It's just been... But yeah, now we're here. Yep, and we've got a lot to discuss. We are talking about the Dreamcast, the 20th anniversary. I'm old.
We all are.
20, yeah, 20 years. But before we get to the Dreamcast, we're going to get to the Super Nintendo, because it got a little focus in the spotlight there, didn't it there, David?
Yeah, so it was announced actually during the Nintendo Direct that SNES games are coming to the Nintendo Switch Online service. So it's pretty cool, like, you know, that they're adding in like a bunch of games here. Certainly like the more notable ones like F-Zero and
They've
Star
actually
Fox.
Been added. They're on there now.
They're on there right now. So so you can definitely play that right now if you have like the service at the moment, which is definitely starting to show some value now, like for that $20 per year value there. So it's looking really cool, like with adding those on there. And certainly we'll have like more games on there. The only thing though is that Nintendo just want to kind of temper our expectations a little bit on that. Any new games basically coming out for this service won't be coming out on a regular schedule.
Yeah, they used to release like games on like a monthly basis with the NES titles, but with release of like 20 Super Nintendo games at once, it's sort of like they're doing it periodically now. So more than likely, we may not see another update till maybe November, December. But
yeah,
I mean, we have a bunch of games to choose from and some great variety too. Demon's Crest, Star Fox, Kirby's Dream Land 3. For the first time ever, they re-released Stunt Race FX for another platform besides the Super Nintendo. That's a significant one.
Oh, wow.
And that was one of the more like surprising titles for sure. And Candace, I was kind of curious, like, which of these like titles that, you know, that were like added on here that you're excited to play, and also like which SNES games that you would want to see added in the future?
I mean, there's quite a few, but what I think I'm most interested in is the fact that they're going to be releasing a Switch Super Nintendo controller.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that's pretty awesome, because I know when I play my Switch, I get really excited to play these retro games, and then I realize I have to use the Joy-Con.
Right.
And that kind of loses me a little bit. But then when I saw the tweet from Nintendo saying that they were going to be offering it as like a special exclusive kind of thing for paid online members, I was like, okay, well, done. Absolutely done. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll actually play more of these. But I'm really excited for the kind of stuff everybody's excited about, like Super Mario World, F-Zero, you know, Mario Kart, stuff like that. My only question is, like, Are they handling the emulation of this stuff?
I believe that's done directly by them, yeah. I mean, from what I played, they're pretty nice. I mean, I jumped right into Demon's Crest. That's one of my favorite all-time Super Nintendo games, and it ran without missing a beat, like that, you know. And then Super
Yeah, that was my only real concern, mostly because, you know, like with the like classic systems and stuff that have been coming out, they're not always like the best when it comes to like which emulation they're using.
It can be iffy.
And stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's mostly at games though. They screw up the worst. Right. So. Thank goodness.
So I just get a little bit nervous. But I love the NES ones that were already there. So, I mean, as long as they play as good as that, I'm stoked.
Yeah. I mean, from what I've tested, the games are a lot of fun. I'm really surprised, David, you haven't jumped back into a link to the Past.
I was just going to say, I'm stoked.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm stoked to get back to A Link to the Past.
Yeah. I mean, A Link to the Past is certainly one of my favorite titles of all time. It's my second one, actually. And, yeah, I mean, it's really cool that, you know, that now we can play it on like, the Switch now. I mean, I did play it recently on the, was it on the 3DS or... I forget like where I played it recently, but I did play it recently. But like, you know, certainly, you know, it's good to know that's there so I can play it now, you know, whenever I want to. So,
yeah. And awesome. On top of that, you know, they had other announcements during that Nintendo Direct as well. Overwatch is coming to Nintendo Switch next month. That's relevant to you, David, because you've been talking about it week after week.
It's my drug.
Also, this was interesting, too. Star Wars Jedi Knight Jedi Outcast is coming on September 24th. And then Jedi Academy release early next year with online play. These are both coming from Aspyr in a deal with Lucasfilm. So we could possibly see more Star Wars classics come to the Switch. Fingers crossed for Episode One Racer. That's just me.
I have to ask real quick. I have all of my old systems, right? Like I have a Nintendo, Super Nintendo, all of this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have all these games. So why am I so excited to play them somewhere else on a different system?
I guess because like it's a Nintendo Switch, so you can bring it with you anywhere. And obviously you can't bring your NES and SNES like everywhere, just plug it into like any old like TV or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I didn't think about that part mainly because I don't go anywhere.
There's that too, I guess. Yeah.
They're also online compatible. So if you want to kick somebody's butt at Super Mario Kart and they live across the country, you can do it.
All right.
Yeah.
It all makes sense now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it now. I was starting to feel like I was kind of shaming and avoiding my systems, and I felt really bad for a minute until you just said that. So now I feel better.
Yeah. Okay, we're good. I mean, I feel like it's definitely worthwhile as long as they add some sort of modern amenities, like at least like with the, you know, with like the retro collections that have been coming out lately, you know, they've been adding things like a rewind feature and things like that. So it's pretty good. Like if you're, you know, if your reflexes have slowed down, like with age or whatever, and you just want to like, just kind of get through the game.
Targeted.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm targeting myself as well in this case. So.
I don't know what skill is. What skill?
I did notice that with the NES games, which I thought was pretty cool. Like also you can like save state kind of things.
Yeah.
And not have to worry that if you turn it off, it's over and you have to come back.
There's that too. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So. And I just, there's quite a lot to like about the whole thing, and including all the SNES stuff is just going to make the Nintendo service, I think, even better. I mean, we already have PlayStation Plus and Xbox Online and all of that that offer these kind of things if you pay the premium fee, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a lot for somebody who's into retro gaming.
Yeah.
You know, this is a big deal for people like us. So I'm pretty excited. And if you were able to jump on that whole Twitch thing, I mean, you got a year of the service for free just for having Twitch.
That's right. Yeah.
Prime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they also have the thing where you can get like Tetris 99 at retail for like $30 with all the modes, single player mode and everything like that. But it also comes with 12 months of subscription.
Right.
So you can get it that way too. There are a number of ways you can get a great subscription program out of this. I think Overwatch is even going to have it too, because it's in a boxed copy, which kind of stinks without the cartridge, but you do get like a few months of the service as well, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
So it makes up for it.
Anyway. I mean, I'm personally hoping that they'll add in like Chrono Trigger in there, obviously, since that's my favorite game of all time. But it would be really cool if they added in some like imported titles in there, like some Japanese exclusives or just like games that just had like limited run to them or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just like games like that, I guess, that like people like maybe
like Bahamut Lagoon.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just like games that like just a lot of people may not have like actually played. Like obviously you want like the perennial classics in there for sure, but it would be cool to have some like rarer titles in there too.
Yeah, I would love to see. I would love to see a Famicom, just, you know, stuff that like we over here did not get access to, like Bahamut Lagoon, Super Famicom Detective Club, you know, stuff like that, which is really awesome. And I wouldn't have known about it if not for having to import this stuff. So I think that'd be really
neat. They
did
release Super Puyo Puyo from the Super Famicom collection as part of the 20. So that possibility is on the table. Just saying.
Yeah.
For sure, for sure. And, you know, Nintendo is not the only one getting into the retro gaming market here. There's also SNK coming out with a Neo Geo controller here, which is going to come equipped with 20 games. Now, we are not quite sure which 20 games that these are, but the controller itself does look pretty slick. You know, it's just like, it's basically like a kind of like a white arcade stick, basically, you know, with like the joystick, and there and there's like 8 buttons on there as well. But yeah, so since it is like an arcade stick, basically, I imagine the lads, you know, add in like some like arcade favorites there, like Metal Slug and King of Fighters and Samurai Showdown and things like that.
If I say anything about this, do you know the person running this and they're going to come confront me?
I might actually. I might actually know.
They'll show up like Hiromaru. They'll have a sword in hand. So Candace.
Like, listen, Candace, this person that you were talking about, yeah, they want to come argue about the Neo Geo Mini to you.
I got some mad shit to throw down about this.
You know what? Yeah. I mean, yeah. It worked out pretty well last time, just saying.
Yeah.
It did. Thankfully, I knew Tommy, so we were cool. But are we doing this again?
Yeah, because see, didn't they do this with the Neo Geo Mini? They went all out with the Neo Geo Mini. You could play it on the go in a little portable mode, but then you could hook it up to a TV with its games again. And now they're kind of doing the whole reinvention thing again as an all-in-one stick. I mean, first off, is the price going to be the same? Am I paying $100 for this?
I was just going to ask that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, do we know the price?
We have no idea on the price yet.
And secondly, we'll have exclusive games. You know, we'll have exclusive games because Capcom, at the very least, I mean, their over-expensive stick stinks, but it has Alien vs. Predator. Will this thing have games that weren't released yet, like 8-Man or something? You know,
I mean,
it kind of looks like it's just going to be SNK stuff, obviously.
Yeah. For sure, and like the Neo Geo Classics on there for sure. But yeah, because like obviously with like the Neo Geo Mini that came out recently, you know, it does kind of like beg the question, I guess, like if we really need this, or does this kind of like cannibalize like their sales a little bit as they're kind of getting involved with the retro market?
Well, I mean, you can use it as a fighting stick, but only with PC. That limits its usage right there.
This thing looks dinky as hell. I'm not interested.
I'm probably going to break it.
It does look pretty dinky, honestly. You
know. All it takes is one bad session of Art of Fighting, and I'll probably break it.
I hate to say this, but it looks like Soulja Boy would like sell this thing.
Oh, my. Okay, we're definitely going to get somebody from SNK on our show next week.
But, you know what? Bring him on. I want to hear it.
Soulja Boy.
Yeah, it's our Soulja Boy.
Not Soulja Boy. We'll never have Soulja Boy in the show. We will not have Soulja Boy in the show.
I mean, you never know. I mean, I'd be like, interested in like talking with them. It's like, what are you thinking, man?
Yeah,
he ain't thinking crap out on his lawsuits right now.
Right, that's true too. But yeah, I mean, like, it, you know, I'm definitely curious on which games are going to be out for this, and also certainly the like price point is you know, is like a big question that I have as well. Like, I'm thinking like it can't go above 100. I mean,
how much would you spend?
I mean, if it's less than 100, I would certainly think about it. If it's over 100, I'll probably pass, just because like I feel like there are other options that are cheaper where I can get like a lot of games, which I think that they're going to be adding onto here anyway. So
yeah, and most of them you get off
arcade. Say you were to look at this right now, and they had the brand, like the branding, the box, everything like that. They had a bunch of these classic games, right, that we know and love.
Mm-hmm.
How much would you spend for that?
50.
I mean, I'd probably go as high as 80, personally.
I'm with Robert. I think 50 is them taking a little bit of money from me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm sorry, I mean, it's but 20 like, games, you go to Walmart.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah, but you go to Walmart and you can find so many of these companies shilling out these little handhelds that connect to a television.
Right, the pluggable ones.
And yeah, the like the plug and play nonsense, you know, machines, and they're always awful, you know. So it's like, and those are always like between 30 and 50.
Yeah, I mean, so, and then you got the Sega Genesis Mini, which is coming out next week. It's $80, but it comes with two controllers and over 40 something games.
Some good stuff.
And the reviews are in. They said it's way big turnaround from the old Ad Games model. I need it too. See, that I would, that's value right there, because you know, you got the exclusive games, the two controllers, and all that. This, if they price it higher than the Sega Genesis Mini, I'm gonna laugh, because
they'll lose money.
Yeah, they'll lose money.
They definitely will. Yeah.
It'd be a mistake to put it over what the Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
Like, so. Is there like a particular Neo Geo game? I guess that if they announce as like part of this collection, that you would think it's like, maybe I do need to pick this up, even if it is at like a higher than ideal price.
The only one I could think of is 8-Man, but that was just because of one of my all time favorite Neo Geo. Maybe Viewpoint, but that's Sammy. There's no way they'd do that. But give me some games that I would want to play again, because I mean, most of the games that are probably going to be out for this, I probably already have either my PlayStation or my Nintendo Switch library.
I was just going to say.
Arcade Archives. Mm-hmm. See, they already have
Vita for me.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, they've put out so many collections that it's like, why not just get that?
I mean, certainly on like the Switch as well, actually. Like, they've been coming out with like so many SNK games on there, especially through Hamster as well, like through the Arcade Archives series. So, yeah, I mean, like, there's definitely less of a reason to pick it up for that specific reason. But if they do have games that they're going to add on here that we haven't seen, like, on modern consoles for, like, a long while, or haven't seen on modern consoles, like, at all, for example, I mean, I think that could make it worth it. But if there's going to be adding in, like, all the usual suspects, I mean, there's just not going to be much of a reason. Exactly.
Cable store. I'm looking at this, and it's, like, cable storage box, and it's like headphone output ports, and it just looks outdated. It looks outdated.
Just like the
we're
Neo Geo
there anymore.
It just
right. Mm-hmm. It's just we're so past this now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is like
feels
a step,
like a money grab.
Yeah, I mean, like this feels like a step up from the Neo Geo Mini in a sense, because I don't like the idea of playing on a mini like arcade cabinet kind of thing. But at the same time, I think you are onto something there, Candace, as far as it being like a little bit outdated, and maybe SNK is maybe like a step behind a little bit, like with this, like they're like a bit slow to kind of come, you know, to have this come out. And I don't know. I mean, like, they're just kind of hoping for like the arcade purists to kind of pick it up, but I don't know.
Yeah. Hit me up like 5-10 years ago, and this would have been something that I would have been like, oh, cool.
For sure.
But now I'm looking at this and there's no way those buttons aren't going to be obnoxious and break. That plastic does not look like it's going to handle anybody playing it like an actual arcade stick would need. Like, yeah, no, this looks outdated. So I'm sad to see it. You hate to see it. That's where we're at.
Fortunately, there are some old games that still get our attention, and, you know, how they're sold is really questionable. But I mean, one did resurface over during Apple's event this week, and that's Choo Choo Rocket. It is coming back with a long-awaited sequel titled Choo Choo Rocket Universe. This was announced as a title exclusively for Apple Arcade. At the moment, features beautiful 3D worlds, gameplay that's similar to the original, but has new mechanisms like switches and teleports, a number of new environments. It's really great to see the game back. And, you know, a lot of people are going to complain that it's, you know, why is this Apple Arcade exclusive? This would kill on the Switch. But, I mean, it's a good get for Apple. I mean, their service is going to be like $5 a month. They got games like this. They got Exit the Dungeon, which I just told David about.
Which I just found out about, like, its existence, basically.
Like 30 seconds ago. But, I mean, it's a smart move. And it is great to see Choo Choo Rocket back in some variation, because this was one of the better games in the Dreamcast library. I know we'll talk about it later when we get to the
It's a good business move. No, it's a good business.
And it looks like a cute game. I would actually try, you know, I'd pay $5 to try this on my iPhone and see if I could win this time. That'd be great.
I mean, like, the thing I noticed here, like, with, like, Apple, with the Apple Arcade service, is that they are going for more of the family-friendly titles than Google is with the Google Stadia. Because, like, Google Stadia is, like, adding in, like, Doom Eternal and Mortal Kombat 11 and things like that. Whereas with Apple Arcade, they are looking for those more, like, all-ages titles, I noticed.
Sort of like the Intellivision Amico?
Sort of, yeah. Sort of like a television
Amico?
Booth.
Amico.
Amico,
yeah.
Eventually get to say it right.
I don't pronounce anything right on the show, just a heads up.
Yeah,
like,
I was going to say, good luck, yeah.
I don't say anything right ever, anyway.
Yeah. But, I mean, it is cool to see, like, a sequel to Choo Choo Rocket come out. I mean, I just never would have imagined to ever see, like, a sequel to this game come out. You know, it's certainly, like, a good get, I feel like, for Apple in that sense, as well as, like, the Enter the Gungeon pseudo-sequel kind of thing. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, with like, Apple Arcade and with a Google Stadia, I'm just kind of curious to see, like, how both of those services are, you know, are going to do, like, overall, just as like people are kind of, I guess, slowly discovering that they don't, you know, that they don't own their games anymore. So will anyone truly own Choo Choo Rocket Universe?
Well, I mean, the Apple Arcade is more of a service. You pay like $5 a month and you pay whatever, you know, play whatever games you like, Sayonara Wild Hearts and Choo Choo Rocket and Exit the Gungeon.
Right.
Stadia, you pay full price for your games and you don't really own them. So they're two entirely different services.
Even though you don't really own like the Apple Arcade games either, because they're all digital and you can't really transfer them, as far as I know.
I would also like to point out, Sega's not spending a whole lot of money with this.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if anything, they're making money. Hardlight is the mobile games division, right?
Right.
And they've done Sonic, Jump, Dash, the Crazy Taxi game. Like,
mm-hmm. Oh, right.
It's all everything's all developed in-house, and these Hardlight's known to make a profit.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just going to be printing money, you know, by having any of these things come through Hardlight. So
I mean, those other games are definitely quick turnaround titles anyway. So.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
And not to mention the fact
that's what I'm saying, though.
Like, casual games like this won't be nearly as demanding on download size as whatever's on Google Stadia and its 120 gig daily download thing. Damage. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, big world of difference. Because I was playing it at the Google Stadia thing at PAX, and it stuttered, and I'm like,
Even there, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, even there, I love Doom Eternal to death, but I was like, okay, I'm just going to buy a physical version, thanks. Mm. But, you know, I think there's a lot of questions for a future episode, maybe, when it comes closer out. But for now, Apple Arcade's its own beast, and this is a great addition to the Apple Arcade library. Like I said, I'll check it out for a month, see how it holds. But I would not play Choo Choo Rocket again. And I still remember the song, you know, the Choo Choo Rocket. Which was the cutest thing in the world, by the way.
Yeah. Another thing which may possibly be the cutest thing in the world, or the creepiest thing, who knows, is the Colonel Sanders dating sim, which is totally a real thing, apparently. So
none of you better say an ill thing about this whatsoever.
Oh, I wasn't going to. I was going to bring up the KFC Double Down again. But, you know, but no, apparently there is a dating sim. It's fashioned a little bit like Dream Daddy, but obviously with Colonel Sanders. It's coming out September 24th. It will be free. And people are already talking about streaming it and romancing Colonel Sanders and the drive-through lady and all that.
And it's an official KFC game.
It's going to be free?
It's going to be free.
Yes.
Yeah. Candace is like, can I preload?
I would pay money for this.
it's all, like, honestly, it's a whole marketing campaign. Like, it's kind of like Chex Quest
genius.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
It's genius.
I mean, KFC has been dabbling in gaming they had a gaming account on Twitter for a while there. I just never thought they would take the Burger King Sneak King route and actually release their own game. But this is way better because
I like Sneak King, honestly. Yeah.
Something's
Sneak
wrong with
King's great. No, I liked it. It was fun.
I don't want to
sneak it was funny. Yeah.
I want to romance Colonel Sanders. There you
see.
Well, I heard about this a few days ago because in my Discord for my stream, I had people just spamming me, like going, you have to play this, you have to play this, you have to play this. And then I was like, okay, done. Like, all I need to do is click on it. And I was like, done. It's done. We're doing this.
Yeah.
I'm stoked.
It's
genius. Again, business, marketing. It's beautiful.
It's totally a marketing move, yeah.
Yeah.
And here's,
great move.
And here's the name of it. This is the actual name. I Love You, Colonel Sanders, a finger-licking good dating simulator. That's the actual name of the game.
I mean, it's on point, so.
I want a console version. I want it on Switch. Give me.
I mean, you probably won't get that, but it would be kind of cool. I mean, just like how there are physical versions of the Burger King games. So, I mean.
But.
I'm looking at this little release here, and it says the game promises hours of play through secret recipes and life-changing decisions that will have real consequences with real animated characters' feelings at stake.
Yep.
I'm in!
I mean,
seriously,
you can't get better
than that. Give me hours?
You and me and a bucket of chicken. That's romance
right
there.
Do it. This is great.
Yep. And one thing I do have to mention as well, I was watching Double Toasted's video on this, if you check Double Toasted on YouTube, where Corey Coleman, who we had on the show before, at least on the Arcast Mini, which I talked to him, he was going over, like, this particular game, and when he was doing a Google search for, like, images, like, for, like, his like, featured image on YouTube and all, he found an image of basically, like, a naked black man just having sex with, like, a bucket of fried chicken.
Wow.
I think
much,
all he
David.
Searched for was, like, KFC dating sim, basically, and that's what came up in Google. So.
Oh, man, okay, don't Google it, kids.
I'm not saying a word.
Yeah. Don't just stick with this. I think the... The only thing I can think of the good game out of this regards that image. Thanks a lot, David.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm just saying, though, it could have been worse. That's all I'm saying.
Than a guy screwing a bucket of chicken. David, anyway,
yeah.
There is some good news out of this. Our buddy over there, Ann Schumann, she said ever since this game was announced, she's gotten a lot more traffic on Arcade Spirits because it has a similar setup with her game.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's wonderful. Yeah, that's great. I love Arcade
And they're
Spirits.
Releasing that early next year on consoles as well. I got to play the Switch version at PAX and loved
it. Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah. So no, perfect timing. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So there we go. Everybody wins with love except the dude with chicken. Anyway.
That's a-
Welcome.
So it's going to lead us now to the part of the show called What Are You Playing? We get some games we've all been playing or have recently beat. So Candace, why don't you start us off with what you've been playing?
I've been playing Destiny 2.
Oh, okay.
I went back and started playing Devil May Cry 4 on the, like, remastered one for PS4.
That's right, yeah, with Nero and all, yeah.
Yeah, 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 which I was a little, like, conflicted about just because it kept trying to make me go to the PlayStation Store, and I was like, why?
It's modern
gaming.
And
then, like, so I click the button,
yeah.
And it's like, do you want to buy all these things to make the game easier? I was like, what?
That's a little egregious, honestly, there.
First off, I was like, that's not cool. And then the other part of me was like, I wish I would have had this before. So that I've been playing that. Pixel Junk Monsters 2, because I love my tower defense. Man of Medan, which is
Supermassive
Games
game.
Yeah,
I heard it was
good. It is so good. I've been playing The Flame and the Flood. I've been playing The Sims 4.
Wow.
Yeah, I play a lot of games. You know, now that I'm actually talking to you guys about this, I don't realize how many I actually play.
it's a wake-up call.
per week. But yeah, I've been playing The Sims on my stream just so that I can essentially pair a bunch of my friends together unwittingly and control them. And I'm calling it, it's like The Bachelor, but it's called Candace Island.
Okay. And everybody gets kissed on Candace Island.
Yep. Everybody's getting kisses on Candace Island.
So I guess now that you're part of the show that, you know, that like eventually it'll be like, you know, it'll be Robert and I like add on there too. It's on Candace Island.
So sorry. But yeah.
Sorry, not sorry.
Everybody's getting kisses on Candace Island.
As long as it's a kiss and not me merging my face into somebody else like what happened on Barry the other day.
I can make no promises.
That's just weird.
There are no rules on Candace Island.
I control so little of what happens. I like set them up and just let them kind of go on their way, and what happens, but it stays there on Candace Island.
Awesome. We got the tagline already for the show.
Yeah. So I've been playing. I'm gonna be playing Red Dead Redemption 2 tonight. I'm playing online because they have the new job system and stuff
the
like that.
The Frontier update.
The Frontier update. So I'm gonna be playing that tonight after we record.
Nice.
Sounds good. How about you there, Robert?
I've been busy. I've been playing quite a bit here. I've been working on Gears 5, much improved over Gears 4, although I still get murdered in multiplayer. Whatever. Even with a T-800, I don't stand a chance. It's kind of sad.
Oh, yeah, right. They had, like, the Terminator character.
Terminator and Sarah Connor. And Sarah Connor looks badass and sounds badass. Linda Hamilton voiced her. I love
it. That's right. Ooh. That's right.
Great. I haven't tried the new Horde mode yet, but I still got a couple of days in there. So
I know Rahul Kohli actually does, like, a voice on there, too. He was in iZombie.
Coolness.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, he's like that, like, snarky British guy. I forget, like, his name.
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, yeah.
And then let's see. I've also been playing some of NHL 20, which is the new hockey simulator. I love it because I am a
sports.
Big fan.
Well, sports ball.
I'm not gonna relate on it too much because I know this isn't the sports cast. So I'll move on.
Sports.
you love hockey, I know. So yeah,
I do like hockey. Track and Field. This classic Konami game just came out for PS4 and Switch as part of Arcade Archives.
I saw that.
And it's really easy with a turbo controller.
Oh, I imagine so. God,
I'm not gonna wear out my buttons. I'm not wearing out my buttons.
Sports.
I'm moving on. calm down.
I'm good.
And I'm patiently waiting for Daemon Ex Machina, so I've been playing Star Wars Pinball from Zen Studios. I actually just interviewed our buddy Mel Kirk over there for Adventures in Poor Taste.
I love Mel.
Mel's great.
We've had him on the show before, too.
Yeah, he's talked about Pinball FX3 with us. It's really great. And finally, I've just been working on still trying to beat Control. It's so good, though. Control is just...
So, have you had, like, any, like, technical issues with it, like, on the PS4 version?
Slight ones. Nothing to really... You know, there are some glitches there, but they have been saying they're going to patch them up soon. I think the patch is actually available tomorrow. So, hopefully, by the time this podcast goes live, you'll be able to fix that. But I still like the ability of just being able to unlock stuff and just be, like, this force-dealing badass. I mean, I really
want to play that, but I have to wait. I got so much going on.
Oh, and I did want to give a shout out. I want to give a shout out to River City Girls. That may be one of my favorite way forward games to date. Totally, excellent beat 'em up. And it reminded me a lot of Double Dragon Neon, which just celebrated its 7th anniversary. I want a Switch port. Just saying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm kind of like, I'm kind of bummed by is there's no like online play. Like, you can't play with your friends.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember asking them about that, actually, when I was playing it during PAX West. And, yeah, like, you know, they really wanted to kind of focus in on, like, you know, having, like, your buddy there with you and, like, you know, playing a co-op that way, you know?
What if you don't have buddies with you?
Yeah. You got to make some buddies.
Go to Candace Island. Damn make it. A few friends. Go.
Yeah, on Candace Island, you can have all the buddies you want to play with.
Everyone's a buddy on Candace Island.
Yeah. Go get you some friends. I mean, without the online play, though, it's still a great local buddy-buddy thing. And it's also fun solo. And it is nice to have the Double Dragon brothers in there.
Yeah. See them again. Who are actually voiced by the Game Grumps, of all people.
Yeah. Which I love.
That's amazing.
Well, I mean, the voice cast so in general. I mean, they got Christina V not only doing like a voice of a character, but she sings a couple of the songs in there, too. And the soundtrack. Oh, love the soundtrack. The
soundtrack's great. Yeah. It's really And you got Jacksepticeye, too, as like whoever's that guy who keeps coming out of like the dumpster to help you out or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I want to play it now.
Yeah,
it's a great game.
It's a great game. David, what have you been playing?
So I guess I'll keep with the River City Girls train here because I have been playing. I just recently beat it, too, actually. And it's pretty great. Like the... Yeah, I mean, you know, especially if you're playing a co-op, because if someone goes down, the other player can actually stomp on their body to bring them back to life, which is pretty great.
Forget CPR.
Yeah.
Everything
yeah.
you're saying is making me want to play it more.
Sorry. I mean, it's unapologetically violent, and it is totally, like all me. About the... Exactly. It's totally about the Kunio Kun franchise, which I certainly appreciate as well.
Yeah.
There is even... what was it? There's even, like, an area, like, where it's kind of, like, under the tunnel, and I remember seeing, like, a boarded up, like, part of the wall. I was just like... I wonder if they added it in there, so I, like, pressed up against the wall and, like, hit, like, the like, enter button, and, like, totally, it goes into, like, a secret shop, just like in the original game and everything.
Yay!
So,
throwback.
It's pretty great. It's pretty great. So, yeah, I absolutely love it. I love, like, the voice cast on there. I love the animation in it. I love the moves in there, the fact you could do a Stone Cold Stunner or, like, a dab to, like, knock people out and, like, all the stuff.
Sliding dab! It's so
the sliding
amazing.
Dab, yeah,
oh, so
yeah.
good
for yes. sure. I know you could do like an aerial power bomb as well, like in there. Like, there's a lot of
drop
like really
kick.
Cool moves.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot you can unlock in the shop. I mean, can't just get this game.
Yeah,
I need to. Apparently, yeah.
you need to. You need to. And aside from that, too, I've been playing Yakuza Kiwami, which I've been absolutely loving. I love the Yakuza series. I've actually only been playing. The only game I played before this actually was Yakuza 0, and that was like my introduction to like the series, and like it's basically like a continuation
of
the Shenmue
series.
Oh, so
you're new like I am.
Yeah, very much so. Like I, you know, I've had Yakuza Kiwami and Kiwami 2 for like a while since like Sega gave me codes like ages ago, and I just haven't gotten around to actually playing them. But now I'm playing them, and I'm saying right now you totally need to play Kiwami, Kiwami 2, all the Yakuza games.
And Judgment.
And Judgment
was great too. Yeah, yeah.
So I was very tempted to pick up Judgment actually because it's on sale right now. Like there's like a big sale going on right now on PS4. Yes. I think it's on sale for like $39 or $38 or something.
Well
like
worth
that.
It. Well worth
yeah.
it.
So yeah. So I'm definitely thinking about. I think I may need it possibly. You know, especially because it is that Yakuza kind of gameplay, but they also added in some stealth gameplay too. And I'm a big sucker for stealth, so I love stealth gameplay.
And detective stuff.
And I love detective stuff as well. So I'm a big sucker for all that stuff.
It's Yakuza meets LA Noir. It's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't like LA Noir, but I do like detective stuff. But I totally got where you're coming from with that for sure.
And I know you've been following all the Yakuza 7 news and the fact they're going to have a kart racing game.
Yeah, yes. I am super, super psyched for that. I'm totally about
RPG.
That. The RPG elements of the gameplay. Yeah, the fact
it's
turn-based.
It's going to be fun. I mean, having frizzy hair is enough alone, but doing all that stuff too is amazing too. I'm in.
I mean, because I know they're not calling it Yakuza 7, actually. They're calling it something else.
Something dragon, I remember.
Something way of the dragon, or like trying to be like the dragon or
something.
Like a dragon. That's,
I wanted to say the last dragon, but it didn't be a Leroy. I'm not doing that.
Right. Exactly. So that's what I've been playing. And a game that you could play certainly right now is Cube 2, which I have a Steam code here for. So Cube 2 is the sequel to the hit first-person puzzle game Cube. You are Amelia Cross, a stranded archaeologist who has mysteriously awoken among the sand-swept ruins of an ancient alien landscape. Together with the distant help of another survivor, Commander Emma Sutcliffe, you must traverse and manipulate the structure of this forgotten world to find a way back home. So if that sounds like a jam, definitely jump on this. Again, this is for Steam. The code is WMTMD0R5PQ7975E. Again, that's Cube 2 on Steam. Enjoy. And if you do redeem that, definitely let us know at ARG Podcast on Twitter.
Welcome back to the Stage of History.
And with that, we have the Stage of History, which is a celebration of retro titles that deserve a spot, for better or for worse, in the pantheons of history. So we've been doing like the Stage of History with like two games. Before, we actually used to do it like with like, I think, like four or five games or something like that.
Yeah.
I was absolutely crazy with it. But now we're limiting to like one game, since now we have like Candace on board. We're trying to, you know, streamline the show and all that. So just a heads up for all you listening out there. So since we are talking about the Dreamcast 20th anniversary, I figure we'll, you know, and also we talked about Chuchiraka before. We'll talk about Chuchiraka here. So
they also know that I talk a lot, guys. That's why you only get one game.
That's right. That's
sorry.
Right.
It's okay. Yeah. I talk more than you, so it's all good.
Well, I don't want you competing for that, because I don't want to edit the show even more than I have to already.
David would be like,
I'm not competing.
David would be like, why am I even here? Why am I just...
I know. This is a lose-lose for me. Come on.
Just Candace and Robert screaming at each other for 2 hours.
Right.
Just like in the chat room. Yay.
So, Chuchiraka is a 2000 action puzzle game by Sonic Team. It was the first online multiplayer game for the Dreamcast. When it arrived in the United States, Sega held an online tournament where players could battle against Sega and Sonic Team employees, and the Game Boy Advance port marked the first time a Sega published title was on Nintendo hardware.
Nice.
So, a lot of firsts there. Chuchiraka certainly has like a lot of history just like attached to it in general. So Candace, have you played Chuchiraka?
What's Chuchiraka?
The first one.
The first one
yeah. For Dreamcast.
I'm totally kidding. Yes, of course.
I keyed.
I just messed it with you guys.
I believe I got it like a bundle with a controller.
Oh yeah. I think it was like part of a bundle with like Crazy Taxi and things like that.
Yeah. I got it as part of a bundle. And whenever Crazy Taxi would infuriate me, I would just switch right over to Chuchiraka.
Yeah.
So yeah, I definitely played plenty of it. It kind of like holds the same charm to me as games like Bubble Bobble and like Bust a Move.
It's easy to play, pick up and all
that. Yeah, easy to play, pick up. You can kind of like just zone out for a while with it and put it back down again.
Yeah.
And the characters were cute and fun. And when, you know, this was also the start of everybody trying to get super edgy dark with, like, all of their games, and this wasn't one of those.
It's a palate cleanser.
The commercial was kind of dark. It featured, like, an animated cat and everything, and all of a sudden the cat exploded and all these mice jumped out. That was kind of disturbing.
Well, that's the marketing.
The Japanese one, yeah. But
but that's, like, a commercial. Yeah. I'm talking about the actual game.
Okay. I mean, the gaming marketing back then was just crazy.
The game is cute as hell. And I did like the multiplayer. The multiplayer was just nuts, trying to collect all these mice by laying down your arrows and everything like that. It was just insane trying to
get. Did you play online as well?
I tried to. I think I stuck more with the local, I think, because I had more. At the time, I was living with some roommates, and it was a lot easier to get local multiplayer going.
Right.
You were living with mermaids?
Roommates. I wish I was living with mermaids. Be like,
you're
what
holding out on me with the story, Robert.
I just, because you said it so casually, and I heard mermaids. I was like, you know, the time I was living with mermaids. And I was like, wait, why are we, like, not talking about that?
Why are the floors wet? What's going on?
you know how hard it is to keep a system alive when everything's wet all the time?
Okay, I understand why we have the fish tanks, but can I have a couch, please? Can I have a couch? But no, I mean, back in the day, the Dreamcast obviously specialized more in local stuff. But,
right.
I mean, from what I understand, the online was fun, too. So
Would you say that there is a game currently that is comparable to Choo Choo Rocket?
The sequel?
No, I mean, not the actual
movie. Oh, sorry.
I mean, any game that's kind of like it, yeah.
Yeah. That, like, is, like, more recent. That's its own thing.
I mean, it feels like it very much its own thing, honestly. I can't really think of any other game that's like
There's hardly any games that really went on this level. I mean, this was just... It worked on its own way, and I don't think it had that kind of thing where they could easily clone. I mean, it was just Choo Choo Rocket. I mean,
what I'm getting at. Yeah, it's Choo Choo Rocket. In all of this time, you know, it's always been its own thing. You haven't seen clones of it. Mm-hmm. You haven't really seen anybody try to remake that kind of gameplay mechanic.
Yeah.
And I think for that alone, it's pretty great.
I mean, the Dreamcast library was kind of full of those types of games anyways. Like, games that really were like its own thing and weren't comparable to, like, anything else, even today. So it's
I think people need to stop acting like Sega isn't great.
Yeah, I mean, it's just now we're seeing, like, another company try a crazy taxi formula at arcade with the game I put up on Twitter earlier this week. And it's kind of funny, like, Sega really knew their stuff when it came to innovation like that. That kind of brings us to Obscura. And I want to bring up this game called Alien Front Online, which is a sort of like an online battle game with tanks against aliens. It was a great little arcade title, and they decided to port it home. And they added some cool stuff to it. Besides being able to play online against teams, making a good competitive title along the lines of like Quake 3 Arena at the time, it also had compatibility with the Dreamcast microphone, making it one of the first games compatible with a chat system. Now, obviously, you know, nowadays, chat's random in games, you know, good in some games, bad in others. But, you know, it's just really great that a game like this, even though it was not really the most popular Dreamcast game out there, it did set the stage for what we would expect from in-game chat. You know, even though you couldn't hear whatever it was saying back, you could shout commands into the mic and everything and be like, over there, your enemy's over there or something, and really add a layer of communication to the game to kind of help strategize.
Now, was this the mic that came with Seaman?
Yeah. I mean, they were the same mic, one of the same. It was a similar model. So, you know, where Seaman, you were yelling something, you were like, F off, what are you talking about? Everything. Here you actually yell
Leonard
something.
Leonard Nimoy, come on.
here you could actually say something and it's useful. I think.
Right.
So I really like the game, though. The game is a lot of fun to play. It's competitive. You could do up to 8 players, 4 on each side, with like hunting each other down. It kind of set a precedent at the time, like similar to the arcade game. And graphics were good. But like I said, you know, Sega really didn't market it too well. And they should have, because it was really cool. And then for a while there, like, the online servers went away, but then fans were able to regenerate those servers back in 2016, and as far as I know, they're still online today.
Wow, that's crazy.
People like this game. I mean, they like the features that it brought and everything, even more than Sega did, which kind of says something.
But it's the same thing with, like, PSO as well, like, because I know Phantasy Star Online, like, still has like servers out there by fans. So
yeah, Blue Burst. Yeah, I still played it.
It's nutty what kind of support this Dreamcast has, even the smaller titles like this. And it was a cool arcade port. You really didn't see arcade ports that, you know, went out of their way to add extra features like the online chat. I thought I'd bring this one up. I really like this one. There was a sequel that was supposed to come out for N-Gage in 2004, but that was canceled because nobody played
it.
N-Gage sequel.
Nobody played the N-Gage. Nobody played the N-Gage.
So, I played it once.
The people that were developing the N-Gage didn't play the N-Gage.
That's true, too.
Nobody played the N-Gage. Anyway. But I...
My timer on my oven has more functionality than an N-Gage.
My GoldenEye watch has more functionality than an N-Gage.
It's got like a laser on it too and everything. Yeah.
No, even without the laser, still more functional.
And that's going to lead us now to our main topic, which is celebrating 20 years of the Dreamcast. So can't believe it's been this long, but here we are. So, you know, I figure we'll like kind of start off, like, since, you know, like, obviously we've like talked about the Dreamcast before at length on the show. So like the angle I kind of wanted to take with it here is like, as far as like what the console did, I guess, like ahead of its time that modern gaming still does today. And, you know, I personally had to lead off, honestly, with, like, online gaming. I think, obviously, online gaming, it was so ahead of its time with that, like, you know, as we mentioned with, like, Choo Choo Rocket, as I mentioned also before with, like, Phantasy Star Online. I mean, that was, like, my first online gaming experience, personally. So, I don't know, like, you know, have you guys kind of chip in on that, too?
I'll tell you, I mean, I think the online play made a difference, but I think the big thing is how it pushed the visual style of games forward before the PlayStation 2 could. You know, like, Soul Calibur came out, and we were like,
oh, yeah,
what mind-blowing shit is this? You know,
the 3D era really kind of came into its own at that time.
It really did, and Soul Calibur remained the best game ever released for the system. I think it's one of the few examples of a game at launch that remained, like, one of its biggest titles. I mean, obviously, Super Mario World for Super Nintendo comes to mind, but Soul Calibur continued to be the innovative leader, even though, like, other great games like Virtua Fighter and all that came out after it. And
Soul Calibur is, like, the de facto fighting game pretty much on there, yeah.
Yeah, it just had stuff that nobody else was doing.
Yeah.
At all.
Bandai Namco stacked it with, like, content.
And it was creative. Like, this was, like, not your run-of-the-mill, you know, here's Crash Bandicoot, and then, like, you know, just a bunch of, like, shovelware nonsense. It was, we're going to give you Jet Set Radio. You're going to have Power Stone. Mm-hmm. You're going to have, like, Shenmue. There were just Shenmue.
Arcade Perfect Port of Crazy Taxi. Yeah, like, all sorts of
things. Yeah, like, there are just so many. House of the Dead.
Yeah,
with
the light gun support as well.
Mm-hmm. Right, and Soul Calibur was, like, everything to me when that came out. So I just, there were so many things that I could play there that I couldn't play anywhere else. And they weren't just regular games. Like, this was stuff I just had never imagined in a million years I wanted to play. And I loved it. Like, Space Channel 5. Mm. And there's this game. To this day, I'm still the only person who's played this game. But it's called Armada.
I've heard of it.
I was obsessed with Armada. So I would bounce between Soul Calibur and Armada, like, every day. But it was like, again, I wanted this. There was such an eclectic library of games at launch and within its life cycle that there wasn't a time I would go looking to get a Dreamcast game and wouldn't find something new that nobody else could give me.
So for people who don't know, can you explain what Armada is, Candace?
Armada is like, it's a top-down kind of floaty space game where you have this little ship. And you just kind of have to go around shooting other guys and going from planet to planet.
Shoot all the guys.
Shoot a bunch of
ships. It was
ships.
Multiplayer, too, right? It supported up to 4 people. I remember that. That was rad.
Yeah. And it was kind of simplistic in its design, but it was so pretty. And it played so smooth. And it really was very simple. And it was just about going from port to port, different planets, and building up more of your ship. And there wasn't much for story, but I didn't need much for story. It was just a lot of fun. But it was another one of those situations, though, where I didn't find anything like that anywhere else that entertained me like it did. And, you know, back when I got my PlayStation and I was like, I'm going to play Tekken. And Tekken is going to be the only fighting game I ever play ever again because I love Tekken. Mm-hmm. And I love Tekken too. And then I played Soul Calibur. And I was like, what?
Why am I wasting my life with this garbage?
What is my life now?
Why was I playing Tekken so much? That's nonsense. Right. I just, like I said, it had such an eclectic thing. And it reminded me of why I love Sega in the first place. You know, there was stuff on Sega you were not going to find anywhere else, you know, and I loved that.
I mean, they were very ahead of their time, and they certainly weren't afraid to be very innovative, really, in like, their products. And, like, honestly, I don't think, like, anything else really exemplified that more than the VMU, like, the memory card that they had with, like, the screen and everything. Yeah, I mean, like honestly, I would have really loved to see the Dreamcast last longer, if only just to see what they would have done with the VMU in a longer life cycle. Sure. You know, because like you could actually play like little games on there. Like if you have like memory from like Sonic Adventure or whatever, then you can like have like this whole like it was like a Chao like game or whatever, like inside the like VMU itself. Like it was just crazy. Oh, God. Yeah.
And I was really praying we could get through this whole thing without talking about Sonic Adventure.
Yeah. all the Chao killing. No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Sonic Adventure and Sonic Adventure 2, I remember loving those games when they first came out, and they certainly wowed me for sure. Like, when you see, like, that first stage, like, say, like, in the first game with, like, the whale chasing after you, or, like, the second one with, like, the big truck chasing after you, whatever. But going back to those games now, they don't hold up well, unlike, say, like, Jet Set Radio, which does hold up, I feel like.
Jet Set Radio is still so much fun to play. A lot of the games that were for Dreamcast, Phantasy Star, still fun to play.
Oh, yeah.
You
yeah.
know, like, and Shenmue.
Yeah.
Shenmue, yeah. Come on.
And I played the HD remasters of Shenmue just recently, actually. And, you know, the controls don't quite hold up as well. Like, they're kind of, like, tanky. Like, they're kind of like Resident Evil tank controls, but slightly worse, in a sense.
But Power Stone...
But Power Stone yes. 2.
Power Stone still holds up.
Yeah, Power Stone 2 especially. Power Stone
1, 2 still hold up. And I know I'm probably going to lose a lot of people here in their respect, and that's... I'm sorry, but Sonic Adventure and Sonic Adventure 2 were just not good.
I think the thing is, and like, they didn't know what they want with Sonic. Like the running stages were just fine, and then...
I feel like they were chasing Mario 64, honestly.
They kind of were.
The stage design was not as good. It was not as good. And clumsy in some spots.
Well, because the whole thing with, like, Sonic in general is that, like, he's meant to go fast, and the only way they can make him go fast without having the gameplay just be completely out of control is by having him kind of like a fixed path, which is basically like how those games kind of feel anyway, especially the Sonic Adventure games. You're basically like pushing in one direction, but whenever you're moving in, say, like a set spot, like, you know where like the whale is chasing you, or like where you have like springs or whatever else, it's really kind of forcing you to go in one direction all the time while keeping that sense of speed. And I think that's a proper way of going about it, but at the same time, I mean, you know, it's like a reality check here. A lot of Sonic games are not good.
Yeah, I mean, there's something nailed it. You know, I thought Sonic Generations was good, and, you know, I thought Sonic Jam on Saturn was good the way it did 3D briefly, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, let's real quick break it down. What is the one thing we know about Sonic? He likes to go fast, right? Yeah. Gotta go fast. You take away fast from Sonic, he's just an idiotic hedgehog.
In that regard, let's talk about Sonic Adventure 2 and digging around for those goddamn emeralds on that stage with Knuckles.
Exactly.
While the rap song continued to play in the background, be like, it's almost there. Yeah.
There is nothing interesting about Sonic the Hedgehog if he's not going fast.
I mean, he's a cool design. I will say that. I do like the design of Sonic the Hedgehog and Sonic the Hedgehog characters. Like, I think they're well-designed characters.
Talking about the gameplay.
But the games themselves, yes, I totally agree.
We can't really disagree on one thing. Samba de Amiga was probably the favorite dancing. I mean, David, I know you're probably going to shoot me down for DDR Japan version, whatever, but Samba de Amigo.
I totally did.
Samba de Amigo was a blast on the Dreamcast. And it introduced a fun DLC mode because you could download classic Sega songs like the Afterburner theme. I never imagined playing maracas to the Afterburner theme, and there I'm doing it like an idiot, and it's great. And of course, Chumbawamba.
But that's what I'm talking about. Cool. Sega did that stuff, and that was so cool.
And it also appealed to the hardcore audience. I mean, the Capcom generation alone on Dreamcast, Project Justice, Cannon Spike, Marvel vs. Capcom 1 and 2, Street Fighter 3, Third Strike, their games alone made the Dreamcast worth owning. They took care
of even SNK as well, like with the King of Fighters games. Yeah.
I mean, it was just insane.
And The Last Blade 2 as well. The Last Blade 2 is an amazing game.
It really
and Garou Mark of the Wolves as well.
Oh, Garou. I have to mention that. I loved Garou.
Yeah.
And then the hardcore stuff, you know, like Ikaruga, Rez. Mm. Rez was something else when it came out. It was really radical, like how the music, like Tetsuya Mizuguchi was nuts. It was. He made it just really make it feel like a vibe all its own, you know? And
it
just, no matter which way you turn, there was always innovation with the Dreamcast. Even like in some of the ports, there were some of the best ports that you could find, like Rush 2049, Hydro Thunder. Remember Hydro Thunder? That game was my jam. Just flying a freaking boat into the Greek Isles. Never mind me. Just, you know, I'm going nuts here.
For sure.
I mean, there was just so much hardcore stuff. And actually, that kind of leads into an interesting story of how the DCD was born. That's my nickname, by the way. So we picked up the Sega Dreamcast in, like, you know, when it came out, 1999. We picked up a bunch of games with it. NFL 2K. We'll get to the sports games in a sec. And
sports!
We also, no, not sports. Anyway, we also picked up a 24-pack of beer. And we went through all the beer and all the games. And they were like, man, you're just a Dreamcast drunkard, aren't you? And I'm like, oh my God, that's my name. And then somebody shortened it to DCD, and now I don't drink anymore. Now I don't know what to call myself. But that's my story. But yeah.
I mean, you know what? Hey, anybody listening, what do you think the last D should be?
Don't say dick. Don't say dick.
No, let's leave it up to listeners. What do you think the last D should be?
Yeah, guys? They could tweet us at our podcast. Like,
this is not going to end well. They're going to come up with all sorts of names.
I might put up like a poll or something with the D could stand for.
But I do want to briefly bring up sports. I know Candace is going to make fun of me, but
sports
were great on the Dreamcast. Virtua Tennis was amazing.
No, you know what, guys? You talk about this. I'm going to go get some tea.
Go get your tea. Virtua Tennis was amazing. NBA 2K. I think 2K2 is the pinnacle.
I mean, the 2K games in general were certainly great on the Dreamcast.
Yeah, NFL 2K. NHL 2K was even good. And I think they did a college football one, too. Like, college football 2K2. I think.
Maybe. I forgot. But
so, there were a few good sports games. Okay, we're done talking about games. Make fun of us when she gets back with her tea.
Yeah. With like Virtua Tennis, though, I mean, that was like a lot of fun. And it was like the type of game that wasn't like, say, like Mario Tennis, for example. It had the look of a, you know, of like an actual like semi-tennis type of game. But it still had like an arcadey kind of feel as far as like how the gameplay was. And that's just what made it fun for everyone to play.
Yeah, it was easy to pick up and play, and you know, you can't say that a lot about tennis games. Maybe the Mario Tennis titles, but Virtua Tennis is right up there.
Yeah.
And great with up to four players. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
I mean, I honestly, I would probably say that Virtua Tennis is more of my favorite than Mario Tennis. I'm just saying. So
I did like the series, but yeah.
Yeah. But there's also Power Stone 2, which we did like allude to before, which is like really, really good, especially, you know, like just like, you know, if you're doing a Power Stone 2 with like four players and you're on like the elevator that leads up to like the alien queen at the top. And it's just, there's like no other game that's like that. It's just like so amazing, especially like, you know, with like the announcers, it's like, what was this? Like, it's an alien.
Powerful. Powerful.
Every time you pick up a gem, it's like powerful. Yeah, it's so good. I love that game so much.
And then, of course, while we're talking about weird games, we have to bring up Seaman.
Of course.
This game is just Yu Taito weirdness with Leonard Nimoy, of all people. Absolutely. It's like Leonard Nimoy is like, what am I reading this game for? Oh, it's a fish with a human face.
Yeah.
Are we still talking about Quidditch?
No.
We're talking about fishes with human faces. So welcome.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I can actually contribute there.
Yeah.
You play Seaman? Seaman was a delightfully weird game.
Yeah. Play a game called Seaman? I mean, I definitely...
Seaman?
Seaman, yes.
But I'm talking about Seaman. The collective, not just one. I'm talking about collective Seam, you know, a man.
Yeah.
Not just one man.
Understood.
A party of Seamans. Yeah.
Yes, a party, a pluralization, if you will.
Yeah.
There you go. And
but that was a lot of fun.
Another one I have to mention as well is Project Justice, which I believe only came out for Japan or maybe like Europe as well.
No, it was in the U.S. It came in the
was
U.S.
It? Oh, that, yeah.
Because I picked it up. Yeah.
That's right. So like the reason
I heard of that one.
So that is the sequel to Rival Schools, which is like the fighting game that came out for PS1. It was basically like a 3D fighting game by Capcom with like people like at school, basically it's like school students, and like they're all like parodies basically of like, you know.
I think I have heard of it actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you have. But with like Project Justice, the reason why I thought that though, Robert, is because I picked up the Japanese version specifically because it had a board game mode that was not in the US version.
And oh, I remember this.
The board game mode is actually a lot of fun. It's almost like imagine playing the board game Life, you know, like the actual board game Life,
but with actual pain.
But yeah, but with like a fighting game, basically, like whenever you land on spaces. So
Right.
I mean, if I'm playing board games, somebody's definitely going to be in pain anyway.
What's making me quit sliding my pieces off the board, you son of a...
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty amazing, though, for sure. But yeah, yeah, it's like...
And then I probably have to relate closely to Cannon Spike myself.
Cannon Spike
is not
a
often
one.
You see Cammy shooting people while wearing rocket skates. No, Cannon Spike was not a sports game.
It's a beat-em-up game.
It was shooting.
Yeah.
It's a shooting game.
It's a shooting... I think there was beat-em-up elements in there, too, right?
Yeah, there was beat-em-up elements. You had Cammy in it. You had a souped-up Arthur from Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yeah.
Like, a number of different characters. So,
I guess it was mainly
not
shooting,
sports.
Though. Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely mainly shooting, though. It was like kind of like top-down, like, shoot-em-up kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was great. But I'll tell you, if you want to relate to something here, Candace, maybe you relate to this. Grandia 2.
Mm.
You know what? Didn't like it.
You didn't
really?
Like it? Oh, okay.
Huh, you know how
I thought you would have been all over it.
This is the third time somebody has asked me if I liked Grandia.
I mean, you're one of those RPG nuts. Every time you mention Street Code, and you're like, oh!
I mean, yeah. I love a good RPG, but Grandia just wasn't my thing. I tried it, just couldn't get into it.
I mean, you like tea, but you don't like every type of tea out there.
Exactly. Thank you.
Okay, well, let's move on to another game then. How about Typing of the Dead?
Mm, yes.
Best typing simulator ever. Screw you, Mario.
With the keyboard peripherals.
I roughed people up in that game.
Did you?
I did the hunt and peck system. Nobody stood a chance.
Sorry. 190 words per minute over here. I was messing people up.
Damn.
That's about my speed.
Get on my level.
But it was such a great twist. Like, you know, who would put a shooter game as a typing simulator? That doesn't happen. And I think like years later they did with like a Typing of the Dead Overkill.
Yeah.
Apparently didn't do too well. But maybe we're done with typing simulator games.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, they really went all out with like the joke of it though, because like they showed like the characters like, you know, instead of like with like guns, they had like keyboards like strapped around like their necks and just like down under like hips basically. So.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It was pretty great.
And while we're talking about weird games, anybody remember a game called Illbleed?
Yes.
No?
Yes, I do remember that.
This was kind of like a horror game where you were stuck in a theme park and you actually had to use your senses to avoid traps and threats, and it was bloody as hell.
Yeah.
Wow, and I didn't play it?
Yeah, you didn't play it?
That's kind of surprising.
I know.
Yeah, seriously. Now we need to find you a copy.
Yeah, it's a pretty messed up game for sure. It's a pretty messed up game.
It's messed up?
Yeah.
No, wait, Kent is like, I'm getting a Dreamcast.
Yeah, I know.
Right? Right? Copy of this.
I'm about to dust off the Hello Kitty Dreamcast, I guess.
Right, you got to hit up eBay for that one. Yeah.
Some people actually preferred this to like the Resident Evil games, which is kind of weird because I thought Code Veronica was sweet.
I know people who are like that too, honestly. Yeah, there are like some Illbleed fanatics out there for sure.
Yeah.
Code Veronica was kind of weak though compared to the other Resident Evil games, and it came out on Dreamcast.
Yeah, it was Code Veronica X, I think was what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
What about Skies of Arcadia? Have we mentioned that yet?
We haven't, no. But I know Skies of Arcadia, like that's like definitely one that like a lot of RPG fans love.
Yeah,
I didn't play that one either.
Oh, we're getting you a Dreamcast. Yeah,
I mean, I played very little of it myself, but like, yeah, I mean, it's one I would love to dive into at some point. Maybe if it comes out on Switch at some point, I think that'd be cool. You know.
Yeah, that'd be great. Fingers crossed. And then, of course, I'll bring up the Crazy Taxi games.
Mm.
Yeah.
The first one was a perfect arcade port, but I love what 2 did. 2 kind of brought in an all new city, all new drivers, all new threats. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. You know, I'm just like, yep, I'm enjoying picking up all this money.
For sure. So I figure we'll also get into like what our personal favorite games are as well. So Candace, if you could start us off with your with one or two or maybe even three.
I thought we did.
Yeah.
I did that already.
Oh.
But
yeah, I loved Armada and Soul Calibur.
Oh, Armada, yeah.
Yeah, and Jet Set Radio, loved Power Stone 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Love those. Those are my favorites, for sure.
I'll give a shout-out to a couple of games here. I'll shout-out to Cosmic Smash, which was this neat little racquetball kind of game that was released only in Japan that I thought was really cool. And then there was a space simulator called Star Lancer that I thought was really cool as well.
Mm, okay.
Kind of
are
a
there
fun
any more sports games you're going to
not? No, it's not sports. It's a flying
the
space game.
The first one
game.
Was sports. I'm watching you.
It's a sport somewhere.
Kind of sports, but in its own weird way. Okay, okay, so we're not doing a sports episode in the future. Just avoiding sports.
I will be gone. Totally still doing
I'm feeling sick.
I think the most sports games I've played were like Fusion Frenzy and Quidditch.
Quidditch. And Fusion Quidditch Frenzy isn't really a sports game either.
That's not true. The Mutant League games.
Mutant League, yeah.
Blood Mutant League is fun. Okay.
Yeah, it's a great game.
But that's
it. And we did say Virtua Tennis was kind of an interesting game for casual play.
If there's not a fantasy element, I'm not there.
Well, then never mind.
Fair enough.
I can't memorize these player names. I don't know what people are supposed to be doing.
I'll give a shout out to a couple other action games here. OutTrigger, I thought was a really good shooting game. I thought was that fun. Confidential Mission was another shoot 'em up like House of the Dead, but with spies. And then there was Dynamite Cop, which was kind of the unofficial sequel to Die Hard Arcade and kind of goofy, but hilarious and good fun.
There you go. As far as for some of my favorites, certainly Power Stone 2 is up there. Project Justice is certainly up there, along with Shenmue and Jet Set Radio. I mean, those are the games really, and also Phantasy Star Online. Sorry, I have to mention that as well, because I spent an entire summer.
That one too.
Yeah, because I spent an entire summer playing Phantasy Star Online, just having it hooked up to jacked to the phone jack basically, and have my parents.
Oh yeah, my
just,
parents
like,
got
about
no
it.
Phone calls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No one can make a call in, so it was just crazy.
My parents had their own company, and so they had several phone lines. Mm-hmm. And I would literally wait till they were asleep and go hook up to any phone line I could get away
Gotta
with.
Get my fix, just hook it right
up. Yeah.
I'm trying to make a call. Can you stop playing for 5 minutes?
No! The answer's no.
My ranger needs more experience.
Yeah.
See, my experience was more with Quake 3 Arena and Unreal Tournament.
No, there you go. There
those
you
were
go.
Great ports. I mean, because at the time, the only way you really could enjoy those games beforehand was on PC, but then they got ported to the Dreamcast, and they got ported nicely, so.
Yeah, for sure. And we did have some listener responses here as well on basically what made the Dreamcast special to you. That was the question I presented. And we got a lot of good responses here, so I'll just kind of fly through these, starting off with Andre Dion, who says, for me, the Dreamcast felt like the start of the future. The high-capacity discs, the visual memory cards, the operating system, and most of all, the unique games. Even to this day, they come together to create an experience I can't find on any other console. So can't agree more there. Dominique Gibson, who says Sonic Adventure, MVC2, Crazy Taxi, Pure Magic. Also, the startup sound is one of my favorites, second only to the PS1. So, if you remember how the Dreamcast was, it's don't
do do and the swirly logo. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Dominique Gibson, who says Sonic. Mega Daffy, who says, I remember playing a lot of Sonic Adventure, Crazy Taxi, Marvel vs. Capcom 1 and 2, and Power Stone with a friend when the Dreamcast first came out. And then when I finally got one myself, I spent hours playing Shenmue and Jet Grind Radio as well. So a lot of good choices there for sure. Alex Reimer, who says, I remember playing NFL 2K with my brother Andy Reimer. My bro Andy Reimer. I guess. Oh, yeah. Alex and Andy. Yeah, there we go. Alex and Andy Reimer. The ability to select the plays on the VMU stopped the screen hack most games gave you. So I did not know about this. So apparently, and I don't know if you knew about this too, Robert, about NFL 2K allowing you to pick your football plays using the VMU.
Hang on. I'm waiting for Candace to say sports. But yeah, you could do that.
I wasn't gonna do it this time.
But yeah, you could actually do that if you wanted to hide plays from people and be sneaky. You could do that on the VMU.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool idea there, honestly. Christopher Hawk, who says, the game Sonic Adventure 1 and 2, Crazy Taxi 1 and 2, Power Stone 1 and 2, Capcom versus SNK, Marvel vs. Capcom 2, Shenmue. The system had so many amazing exclusives. I was yanked out of public school and my homeschooling never happened, so all I did for 2 years was play Dreamcast and teach myself computers. God, just thinking about it takes me back. So you had quite the experience there with the Dreamcast. So.
This was an option? I didn't have to go to school?
I mean, apparently for him. I don't know.
So. I was damn.
Justin Moriarty, who says, it was the first console I imported. I bought the Japanese Dreamcast in May 1999, since I was living near a store that sold import games. I thought it had a lot of fun and unique games, but what ultimately made it special to me was Shenmue, which I certainly have to agree as well. I mean, Shenmue was a very unique game when that first came out. It was just trying to do a lot of different things, and it really was kind of taking, I think, I could be wrong. Did that come out before Grand Theft Auto 3?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say as well. Cause
I could look up dates, but I believe so.
I mean, at the very least, it was definitely in development before Grand Theft Auto 3. And it was just trying to do a lot of different things as far as you going around in a living, breathing world, pretty much, that had the whole day-night cycle and all that stuff. It was just really, really cool on what they were able to do with Shenmue back in the day. Justin Pinter, who says, I love the Dreamcast. It pioneered online with games like Phantasy Star Online. It had an awesome controller, which I would debate a little bit there. I like the controller enough, but it's not like, you know, it's not like N64 levels of bad, but like it's not one of the best ones as far as it's comfortable enough. Enough. Yeah.
You guys that didn't have like tiny ass hands.
There's that.
There are times I was like, I gotta climb on this thing to press a button.
Mm-hmm. And to scare off Candace here, great sports games like the NFL 2K series and Ready to Rumble as well, he mentions.
Oh, I loved Ready to Rumble.
Oh, there you go, sports.
A sports game we could talk about? Wait, what?
There you know.
Listen, you guys can talk about sports games all the time. I don't want to upset any of the sports fans out there. I will just go get tea while you guys talk.
Like the Kermit the Frog over here. Yeah.
None of my business, though.
Yeah. And other awesome games like Resident Evil Code Veronica, true sequel to Resident Evil 2, he says. Power Stone, Jet Set Radio, Grandia 2, Quake 3 Arena, and MDK 2 as well. Also, you could mod the Dreamcast to play any burn disc to include movies or emulator games, which certainly was something that we didn't mention before. We did mention it in like an earlier episode, I want to say, about the Bleemcast. Like, basically, people were like burning games and just be able to like, you know, to like to have like games on any sort of like disc, whatever. Because like the hardware kind of lended itself to allow you to kind of play like any sort of disc that had the
with
had
that
the
you could
information on there.
You could actually play Tekken on the Dreamcast if you wanted.
Yeah, exactly. And like it helped made it like possible too, like to play like a lot of like Japanese games as well, so you can just kind of like get like the emulation software or whatever for it, just put it onto a disc and boom, you can just kind of play it with like a boot disc or whatever.
Yep.
So there was that. Choxy Wolfgang, who says, I liked a lot of the weird accessory based games like Seaman, Samba de Amigo, DDR, and heck, Typing of the Dead. So
yep.
Definitely mentioned all that. Yep, absolutely. Earl Grey Summers, who says MVC2, Soul Calibur 1, and the pinball machine on Sonic Adventure that takes you through the realm of knights, which I actually do remember that particular stage.
Yeah.
So. Greven Jens von Franz, who says Soul Calibur 1, Sonic Adventure, Crazy Taxi, Shenmue 1 and 2. In a weird way, I miss those times as a teenager where you didn't have many games, so the ones you had, you played a lot, and therefore got really attracted to them. Now, as an adult with my own income, I get at least 2 games a month, but they never feel as special as the ones that you had when you were younger. And I think part of that is like nostalgia, and the other part is just the fact that we have so many games that are releasing like each and every day today. So
I mean, compared to
for
like
sure,
back
we don't have to squeeze the most we can out of every game we get now because there's so many.
Yeah, for sure.
And Rondricus Lamb, who says, all I got to say is, I want to take you for a ride. James Mohan, who says, first time I played online was with the Dreamcast Worms Armageddon and won. Ooh. Ah, good times. So, it's pretty cool. That was definitely like a console, at least for like a lot of like console-only players anyway. That was like the first time playing people online, really, was with the Dreamcast. So it was really neat.
It's true.
And also, Rob McCollum, our buddy Rob McCollum here, says, remember getting my Dreamcast after it was already doomed on Boxing Day 2001. That said, I loved it, and Skies of Arcadia, Spider-Man, plus a Disney Racers game was all I needed
Racing
to be happy.
Tour. I remember that one. You raced around Disneyland and the Jungle Cruise. That was so much.
Absolutely. And the last one here we're giving to Andre Tipton, who says, getting mine from Japan and then playing U.S. games at E3 and playing Soul Calibur with Wesley Snipes, which he told us the story when we had him on the show, one of the numerous times that we've had him on the show. But it was a pretty cool story there. So if you haven't heard that, definitely check out some of our earlier episodes with Andre in it. And this is pretty awesome. So thank you to everyone for sharing your stories there on why you think the Dreamcast is special and what your fondest memories were with that. A lot of good comments there.
I'm a little shocked nobody mentioned either the Pro Skater games or Spider-Man, because those got good
ports
too.
I had Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 on Dreamcast, and that was a really, really good port.
Yeah, I love those ports. But yeah, I mean, all sorts of great games on Dreamcast, sports or otherwise. So
exactly. So Robert, I believe you have a game code to give away.
I do have a game code to give away here. I got one from my buddies over there at FDG Entertainment for Monster Boy and Accursed Kingdom. This is a legendary series, the Wonder Boy series, kind of an unofficial entry. Returns with a grand new adventure. Enjoy a colorful action adventure game made alongside Ryuichi Nishizawa, creator of the original Wonder Boy and Monster World series. This is a code for Steam. It is IX5TK3X30G. IJBJH, that is for Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdom on Steam. Enjoy.
Choose your character.
And that's going to lead us now to Random Select, which is actually retiring. This is our last time doing Random Select, at least for the foreseeable future.
We might come bring back it up for special occasions if we feel like torturing somebody. Yeah.
It's all part of our way to like help streamline the episode a bit. But if you really, really want to see Random Select come back, definitely let us know at our podcast on Twitter for sure. But yeah, so this is a yes or no 15 question game to guess which video game character that Candace is this week. So basically, you know, it's going to be Robert and I acting as a team in order to you know, ask like yes or no questions to guess which video game character that Candace is. If after 5 questions we don't get it, she'll give the first hint. After 10, she'll give the second hint. And if after 15 questions that we don't get it, then it's game over, as Raul Julia would say. So, Robert, I don't know if you want me to start off, or do you want to start off?
I'll go ahead and... You go ahead and start off.
All right. Are you primarily a Sega character?
No.
Okay.
Let's see. Are you from a Capcom game?
Nope.
So not a Capcom character. Did you make your debut on the Dreamcast?
Nope. In fact, I hate to say this, but you guys need to stop going down that route.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you do Chicken Right?
No.
Okay, so you're not that. Okay. I had to... Because you're obsessed with the Colonel Sanders game, so I was just kind of going
out
there.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Yeah. You're obsessed.
Let me see. Are you a male character?
Yes.
Okay, that's 5. Okay. So what's your first clue?
Really love bandanas.
Really
love bandanas. Really love bandanas. Okay. Could be Hulk Hogan.
It could seriously be Hulk Hogan.
Sports.
Wrestling.
It's not Hulk Hogan.
I'll ask this. Do you use weapons at all?
Yep.
You use weapons.
She said that pretty exuberantly, too. So.
Yep, so she uses weapons. She likes bandanas, and it's kind of not on the Dreamcast path.
Are you in an RPG series?
Nope.
Okay.
Are you Arthur Morgan from Red Dead Redemption?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I'm throwing that out just in case. This is definitely.
All right, so that's 8 there.
There's people listening right now that are like screaming.
Are you in a fighting game series?
That's tricky.
Is it?
Yeah, that is tricky. They have been a guest. In a fighting game series.
Okay. Because I was actually thinking of like Billy Kane from Fatal Fury, you know. So.
Nope.
I do have one question that could help, actually. Okay. Were you ever in a Smash Brothers game?
Yes.
Ooh, okay. There we go. Right, now, so now we just need 10. The second clue.
You do?
Well, yeah. That's how it works.
Them's the rules, Candace.
But everything...
I really thought David just had it. Really?
Well, we still got 5 questions to go. I'm kind of in the dark.
All right. Yeah. All right, you need another hint. Yeah. Okay, no, that's fine. despite the fact that you always see the same face, there are many iterations of me.
Oh. Wait a minute.
Now David's
off. He doesn't. Because I'm thinking like bandanas. Like the character who I'm thinking of, like, doesn't wear bandanas. So
yeah, they're really into bandanas, and apparently they change their faces, and they've been in Smash Bros.
No. Like, their face never changes, but still technically different people.
Oh, okay. I think I know who you are now.
David,
actually,
thank God. Like you're so close.
I'm pretty certain. Okay. Do you have a tendency to battle slimes?
Wow, God damn it. I thought we were close.
No. Thought you were like a Dragon Quest hero there. So.
No. I'm just going to throw it out there. Are you Princess Zelda?
No. I said I was a guy.
Well, okay. Exactly. So I'm sorry. Maybe I should have guessed the other one.
Got to think these things through, Robert.
My brain is racked.
So we're at 12 right now. So bandana. So bandana weapons has been in Smash. Male as well. We want to make sure we hit that.
I should have said the other character. That's my bad.
Let's try to think. No, he wears a headband. I'm thinking of like Solid Snake.
I know who you're talking about from Virtual Fighter.
I said Bandana.
Bandana.
Yeah, Bandana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you just said
Headband.
Solid Snake.
Headband. Well, Headband.
That's not a headband. It's still a bandana.
Well, okay, are you Solid Snake then?
Yes. Oh, oh my god.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's a headband though, right?
It's not a headband. He literally calls it a bandana.
Oh, he calls it a bandana.
Yeah,
really?
And he even like taps his head. And he's trying to gesture, and it says, taps on bandana, and infinite ammo, yes. I thought, after you said smash, I was like, we're done.
It's game over.
Yeah, I was a little bit in the dark there.
Does he fight slimes? Yeah. And I'm like, wait, no, what? I thought we were so close.
I mean, maybe he fights slimes on his off time when he's not on missions, who knows?
Sure.
But, yeah, so that is random select, the last random select in the foreseeable future. So,
forever. You
know, yeah, forever.
Definitely if I'm the one that has to, like, do it.
Sorry. I mean, yikes. You know how these wrong guesses go? I mean, one time David did one for, what was it, Kazuki, because whatever it was, and I was just throwing guesses up.
Yeah, Karen Kazuki.
And, you know, David completely missed on Great Mighty Pooh one time, and I'm like, it's the Great Mighty Pooh. I said he's
sick. No, it wasn't even that. I just feel like I'm really bad at giving easier hints. I think that's my problem.
Well, so. I mean, like, I think the hints that you gave were fine enough, because usually we have, like, a habit of giving hints,
sometimes
honestly.
Sometimes my hints are a little too much, you know, be like, oh, I know
you're
exactly
you're just like,
you
his name rhymes with loud. Yeah, loud yeah. Fife.
I know you are. You're Barney Fife. I knew it. I knew it.
Do it all along.
But yes.
All along.
But like I said, like David said, we will bring back Random Select on random occasions, but we're kind of slimming it down here so we could talk more, because I think we had a great debut episode here with Candace. Yeah. We had a bunch of great conversations, sports, and all that. But I mean, we really were glad to have you on board, Candace. And I'll be honest, it's thrilled doing a podcast with you again, because you and me have been friends for years and you haven't killed me yet, so it's good.
It's true.
Yeah, yeah. And just want to give some shout outs to our patrons here. There's Francisco Limas, Mac the Ball, and Megadaffy. So thank you very much, guys, for helping support the show. And if you too would also like to support the show, you could check us out at patreon.com/Arcast, where you can see all the different like perks and stuff that you can get if you become an Argonaut today. So definitely check that out. And Robert, I believe there was one other thing you want to mention, like a quick news story.
We were talking about the beginning, about like the Star Wars games that Aspyr are releasing.
That's right.
They're releasing Jedi Outcast, Jedi Knight 2 on September 24th, and then Jedi Academy early next year with online play. And like I said, it could lead down this interesting road where we see more of LucasArts games on the Switch. They haven't confirmed any other titles yet. They're seeing how these sell, but there's a lot of buzz in seeing these titles come back to the Switch. And I'll tell you, you know, it's great news, because, you know, LucasArts or Lucasfilm was kind of hinting there that they're kind of trying to get back into games, but they're licensing them out, because I know they're trying to get out of the games business, but they're still licensing games. You know, they got good old John Drake over there and everything. And this is a good step in that direction to reintroduce some classics on a platform where they'll sell like hotcakes. And they're also coming to PS4 as well, I should mention.
Right, right. And if you love old school RPGs, I actually just recently got like an email here that Romancing Saga 3 is coming out as well. It's coming out for PS4, PS Vita, Xbox One, Windows 10, Nintendo Switch, Steam, the App Store, and Google Play Store as well. So
Every platform,
and, pretty much, yeah.
Also, Crystal Chronicles is getting remade, coming out early next year for Switch and PS4, I believe, and Xbox One.
Absolutely, yeah. So yeah, that is basically episode 175 of our cast in the books. And Candace, where can people go in order to find all your stuff online?
You can follow me on Twitter, Candace Likes You. And I stream usually about 3 to 4 times a week at Candace Loves You on Twitch. And that's
And they're the best streams ever. Aww. Candace Island.
Come visit Candace Island, you guys. Everybody gets kisses there.
Everybody gets Everyone's kissed. Welcome on Candace Island.
You'll never want to leave.
There you go. And if you want to find the ARGcast on Twitter, we are at ARGpodcast. Same thing on Facebook, facebook.com/ARGpodcast. And you can find me on Twitter at TheGuiltyMan.
Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/TheDCD. This is also a good time as any to announce I'm doing stuff for AdventuresInPoorTaste.com. I'm doing video game reviews for them. I just posted Super Hot on Nintendo Switch, which is super hot.
Super hot.
And also doing stuff for MMO games. Just posted my Marvel's Avengers impressions, if you want to go read those.
Nice.
No sports. And please be sure to check out our partner site, Don't Feed the Gamers, at don'tfeedthegamers.com. That is run by our good friend, Leanna Ruppert, where her team gives fan-centric news and reviews in gaming. If you'd like to send us any feedback, opinions, retro games, or topics for us to cover, or anything at all, really, you can email us at ardcast@retrozap.com. And be sure to check out retrozap.com for all sorts of other amazing podcasts. It's your home away from home if you're crazy about Star Wars or pop culture in general. There is also us with Ardcast, so be sure to find us on iTunes, subscribe, give us 5 stars, and tell your neighbors. We're also on Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play Music, so there is absolutely no reason to not follow another retro gaming podcast. All right, and that is episode number 175 in the books. Until next time, keep it retro, and remember, if you see Colonel Sanders, hands off, he belongs to Candace.
Yeah.
Mine! Mine!
That's my anime chicken boy, mine. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely one to romance there, but in the end of the day, he belongs to Candace. Mm-hmm. That's the rule of thumb.
Double his down. Finger looking good. I mean, come on now.
Back off, he's mine.
Back off, weebs, he's mine.
David, just go back to your sneak king, okay? Just mm-hmm. go play that.
I just might, actually.
We'll see you guys next week.
Catch you later.
Bye.